to WPR Wrestling Public Radio, Episode 7. Hello, and welcome to Wrestling Public Radio, the podcast for wrestling fans who don't like loud noises. I'm your host, Crystal Schmidt, and I want to thank you all for your continued listenership and support. On today's second of a two-part series, we're going to dive even deeper into the career of Bray Wyatt. If you haven't listened to episode 6, I highly recommend giving that a listen before jumping into this week's installment. But who am I to tell you how to live? Choose your own adventure. To recap, episode 1 focused mainly on his early years and his storyline as the cult leader of the Wyatt family. Today, we are heading into Wyatt's current storyline, leaving off from the dissolution of the short-lived but entertaining The Leaders of Worlds tag team with Matt Hardy in the summer of 2018. Bray Wyatt also took a hiatus in August 2018 and returned to WWE programming with a new gimmick. Ominous vignettes began being aired across WWE programming in April of 2019, depicting a cast of puppets including a sinister buzzard, a witch doll, and other various toy-like characters. Later that month, Bray Wyatt began to appear in pre-recorded segments as the host of a surreal children's program known as Firefly Funhouse, sporting different hair and a shorter beard. Wyatt's role in these segments appeared to be some sort of disjointed and creepy Mr. Rogers. The puppets are quite strange themselves. The buzzard's name is Mercy, which can be no coincidence, as we know Waylon Mercy was a large inspiration for Bray Wyatt's character. Abby the Witch, which could only be a sweet nickname attributed to Bray's fictional sister Abigail. Ramblin' Rabbit and Huskus the Pig Boy, the latter of which, being a reference to Wyatt's previous gimmick, Husky Harris, were introduced later, along with a puppet for Mr. McMahon named Mr. McBossman, who makes occasional appearances. More recently, Bray Wyatt introduced a couple new puppets, including Pasquale the Parrot, who unfortunately died in the box while waiting because Wyatt didn't cut any air holes in the box, and the evil Mr. McBossman puppet entered and scolded Bray Wyatt for his poor management, saying that he was losing Vince's trust. To run the Firefly Funhouse better, Vince brought in a special advisor named Wobbly Walrus. This puppet could best be described in likeness to one of the most trusted advisors of top talent in WWE, Paul Heyman. In his debut Firefly Funhouse segment, Bray Wyatt destroyed a cardboard cutout of his old self with a chainsaw after explaining the changes that he had gone through. He assured viewers, saying, "Trust me, I have been barbarically punished for all of my wrongdoings, and that part of me is dead now. However, I do keep a reminder, so not even in my weakest moments will I ever turn into that pathetic slob loser ever again." He signed off by cheerfully telling viewers, "Our fun's just getting started here, and remember, Fireflies, I'll always light the way, and all you have to do is let me in." It's maniacal. Over the next few weeks, the Firefly Funhouse segments went on to become more sinister, with one featuring Bray Wyatt painting a picture to express his suppressed feelings, which turned out to be a painting of the Wyatt family compound being burned with Sister Abigail inside, a reference to his WrestleMania 33 feud with Randy Orton. Another featured him having a picnic with expressionless kids, while yet another revealed that Wyatt was able to harness and control his darkness. He went on to introduce us to an alter ego called The Fiend. Suspenseful jewelry box music started playing as the rest of the puppets in the funhouse cowered in fear, which then led to a glimpse of this new masked character. A frighteningly deep voice filter is used as someone is calmly reciting the lyrics to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and Bray Wyatt's fiend character is on display throughout the rest of the vignette in rapid cutting scenes. The new look for the Fiend can be attributed to none other than legendary horror and special effects expert Tom Savini. But first, Bray Wyatt needed designs for the mask to be approved by Vince McMahon and then created by Tom Savini's team. Wyatt sought out tattoo artist Kyle Scarborough to help in designing the mask, so he texted him excitedly saying he needed Scarborough's help. The mask was then designed based on ideas Bray Wyatt had offered up, and when those designs were received by Wyatt, his reaction was 100% positive. When Vince McMahon received the renderings, along with a visual guide for Wyatt's idea for the character, the project was given a green light. Then, it was time for Tom Savini's famed makeup and special effects team to create a physical representation of those renderings. Savini is perhaps best known for working on movies such as the original Dawn of the Dead from 1978, Day of the Dead, Friday the 13th, and Creepshow. He also has had acting roles in several movies he's done makeup and effects for, so he's something of an Easter egg for horror movie fanatics. Something I did not know about Tom Savini prior to tackling this subject was that he's actually worked on several WWE projects in the past, including masks and other props for Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kalisto, and Eric Rowan. With this new gimmick, though, Savini's team got more involved than ever, designing the puppets, sets, and just about everything else seen in the vignettes. A member of Tom Savini's team, Jason Baker, directed the Firefly Funhouse episodes and also teamed up with another part of their team, Eli Farrington, to create the Fiend mask. The pair have also been credited with creating the latest masks for the band Slipknot. On working with Bray Wyatt to create the vignettes, Baker referred to Wyatt as someone who is constantly walking the razor's edge between genius and insanity. That Wyatt is great to collaborate with and puts a major thought process into his craft. Bray taking control of this Fiend character is one of the most extreme things WWE has been allowing in the last couple years. Eerily enough, it even appears that Bray Wyatt had been planning this haunting alter ego since 2015 when he shared a ghost story in a WWE vignette. It went, "I grew up in South Central Louisiana. Abigail rescued me and my brothers and sisters. She took us to this cabin in the middle of nowhere. It was freedom, but even the greatest freedom comes at a price. She told us, 'Beware of the man in the woods, for he is real, and he is the eater.' So one day, me and my brothers, we take our slingshots and we go rabbit hunting like we do. We started to hear something strange. At first, we pass it off as a bear. And as time passed, the bear, or what we thought was a bear, started to get louder and louder, and it let out these sad yowls. And my brothers, they started to run. And I myself must admit, for a second, I was afraid. But I was more intrigued than anything else. I dropped my slingshot, and I started moving closer and closer towards the sound. And I got so close at one point that the sound started to radiate in my ears and hurt. And that is when I saw it. It was about 7 foot tall, walking upright, no pigment in his skin. He was as pale as a pearl. He had thin yellow hairs running all the way to his knees, and he carried an alligator with one hand, dragging it across the beach line. I prayed that he wouldn't see me, and I said, 'Abigail, please forgive me. Forgive me for not paying attention to you.' And that's when he looked at me. His eyes were yellow like a cat. Still, I stayed frozen in fear, and it was just then he reaches out his hand, and in the middle of it was my slingshot, and I started to run as fast as my legs would take me. I continued to run for what felt like an eternity, and finally the cabin was back in my eyesight. I sprinted through the door, and I was in a panic, and I ran straight to Abby's room, and I said, 'Abby, I am so sorry.' And she said, 'Baby Bray, what is wrong?' And I said, 'I saw him. I saw the man in the woods. I thought it was a lie, but you were telling the truth the whole time. I'm so sorry. She said, baby, baby, baby. What did he say to you? What? He didn't say anything. Matter of fact, all he did, he looked right at me with his eyes, as if he was staring right through me. And he held out his hand, Abby, and in his hand was my slingshot. And inside I was wondering, why? Why is she so calm right now? And she said, baby, don't you understand, Bray? It's his slingshot, too. What? You are the man in the woods. And he ends the vignette with his customary laughter. On the July 15th episode of Raw, Bray Wyatt returned as The Fiend and attacked previous rival Finn Balor with his Sister Abigail finishing move, thus reestablishing himself as a heel in the company. One thing that was already apparent thanks to the vignettes is that Bray Wyatt and The Fiend were essentially a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde duo, always choosing whether to hurt or to heal their victims, and it was usually the former. The Fiend character had his debut match at SummerSlam in August of 2019, where he defeated Finn Balor in only a few minutes. Although it was a quick match, there were some cool little treats mixed in for followers of Bray Wyatt. The first and most notable being the lantern that The Fiend brought to the ring, which appeared to be the head of Bray Wyatt's former self, with an orb of light protruding from his gaping mouth. You'll recall that Bray Wyatt used to come out to the ring carrying a lantern and calling on his fireflies, who would light up the audience. This symbolizes the death of former self for Bray Wyatt in a very tangible way. The lantern, which looks like something straight out of a horror film, was also created by Tom Savini's team of special effects experts. Another nod to Bray's former self was the emergence of his remixed entrance music. Following Aleister Black's lead, Bray Wyatt opted to go outside of the normal composers, CFO Money, and Mark Crozier that WWE uses, and instead used the band Code Orange for the new version of his theme song. And the changes seemed to be well received, as the crowd that night lit up like little fireflies, as has been custom during his entrances. Over the next several weeks, The Fiend attacked multiple WWE Hall of Famers and legends, including Kurt Angle, Jerry Lawler, Kane, and Mick Foley, going so far as to adopt Mick Foley's finishing maneuver, the Mandible Claw. He also turned some WWE superstars heel in the process. The Fiend then began a feud with Universal Champion Seth Rollins by attacking him at Clash of Champions on September 15th, 2019. At Hell in a Cell on October 6th, the two faced one another in a Hell in a Cell match, which is a match featuring a wrestling ring enclosed in a large metal fencing on all sides and from above. Their match, however, ended in a referee stoppage after The Fiend was buried under several weapons and hit with a sledgehammer by Rollins. Because of the disqualification and stoppage, Seth Rollins retained the Universal Championship title, as titles won't transfer if either opponent in a title match is disqualified. Despite the match ending, The Fiend rose as officials checked on him to chase down Rollins and again incapacitate him with the Mandible Claw. The finish was noteworthy for the response from fans in attendance, who booed loudly and chanted negatively even after the show had gone off the air. For those unfamiliar with a Hell in the Cell match, it's well known that there are no disqualifications in this type of match, so the ending that the creative team decided to go with left everyone confused and disappointed. After he was drafted to the SmackDown brand during the 2019 WWE Draft, shortly after Hell in a Cell, The Fiend defeated Seth Rollins on Halloween at Crown Jewel in a Falls Count Anywhere match to win the Universal Championship. This title was subsequently transferred to SmackDown because that's the brand that Wyatt was a member of. The WWE Championship, then, was in turn transferred to Raw, so each brand still had one of the highest titles in play. After his victory, Bray Wyatt introduced two new belt designs for the title, and the first was a blue-strapped version of the Universal Championship to signify its move to SmackDown, which uses blue in most of its branding. This new blue strap was the championship title that Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse character held, while the other was a custom championship belt for The Fiend, featuring the character's face in the place of the center plate, and on a black and red worn leather strap, his phrases hurt and heal, as well as let me in, were on the belt, the word me being represented by The Fiend's face. This horrifying new custom belt was designed, of course, by Tom Savini's team as well. Horror wrestling fans can even get a replica of it on WWE Shop today. Bray Wyatt then began a feud with Daniel Bryan, retaining title over him at Survivor Series in late November 2019. After Bryan accepted a rematch on the following SmackDown episode, The Fiend attacked Bryan and ripped out his hair. With Bryan absent the following week, Wyatt started a short feud with Bryan's old rival, The Miz, culminating in a non-title match at TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, where Wyatt, wrestling for the first time as his Firefly Funhouse character, defeated Miz. After the match, Daniel Bryan, now with a buzz cut and short beard, made his return and attacked Bray Wyatt. Their feud would come to a head when The Fiend defeated Daniel Bryan in a strap match at Royal Rumble in January 2020. On the February 7th episode of SmackDown, Hall of Famer Goldberg challenged The Fiend for the Universal Championship during an on-screen interview, and the match was scheduled for Super Showdown on February 27th, 2020. At the event, The Fiend character suffered his first loss to Goldberg, ending his title reign at 118 days. The following night on SmackDown, The Fiend confronted a returning John Cena and challenged him to a match at WrestleMania 36 that Cena accepted, a rematch from 2014's WrestleMania 30. WrestleMania was filmed in advance and broadcast as a two-night event on April 4th and 5th due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which prohibited the normal live event with fans in attendance that takes place typically just on the Sunday of WrestleMania weekend. Because this was anything but a traditional WrestleMania, the two squared off in a surreal trip through history as moments from Bray Wyatt's and John Cena's histories were played out. It can maybe best be summed up by Titus O'Neil's reaction immediately following the match, when he just looked at the camera and exclaimed, "I don't know what I just saw." But I will lay out some key takeaways from the match, if you can even call it a match. It opened with John Cena doing his usual entrance, including welcoming the audience to WrestleMania, only to be cut into with Vince McMahon doing the same introduction from WrestleMania 1. This set the tone for the entire match, with a running theme being John Cena's connection to Vince McMahon. We then cut to Bray Wyatt on the original Firefly Funhouse set before it became the blue background with all of the photos of those hurt by The Fiend. The door reads, "Abandon all hope, ye who exit here," a play on "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here," from Dante's Divine Comedy, which was the inscription at the entrance to hell, symbolizing Cena's entrance into his own personal hell to face his most dangerous opponent, himself. The match truly begins by showing us John Cena's gimmick during the Ruthless Aggression era. Bray pokes fun at Cena, who keeps repeating the same move over and over again in the ring, similar to how his career almost ended during that era because he was repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Bray even delivers a particularly low blow when he mentions another major failure of Cena's, that being his relationship with fellow WWE superstar Nikki Bella. They then bounced to Saturday night's main event, an old WWE show from the 80s that was hyper-focused on large, sweaty men with vanity muscles, which continued to prod at John Cena's impressive musculature and his seeming inability to break free from the restraints of 80s masculinity. He was essentially trapped in the Hulk Hogan formula. The match continues to take us through John Cena's career, with Cena attempting to hit Bray Wyatt with some jabs as well, though failing miserably. Bray brings up how many opportunities Cena has been given in his career, and how much Bray himself has had to fight for and still had it all stripped away from him. Eventually, we get back to the loss at WrestleMania 30 that should have never been. Bray Wyatt reverts back to his former cult leader gimmick. Wyatt goes on to explain why he should have won that match, referencing the crowd being behind him and not Cena. We're eventually led to an episode of WCW Monday Night Nitro for more comparisons between John Cena and Hulk Hogan, the latter of which had been booed by fans after playing a face for so long, and skyrocketed his career when he made a heel turn with WCW. Cena never took that route, which could have potentially stifled his ability to reach new heights in the business. The big finale comes when John Cena is beating up Bray Wyatt, except Bray has been replaced by Huskus the Pig Boy, the representation for Bray's Husky Harris character, who was nearly fired unless he lost weight. This is possibly a metaphor for a veteran like Cena holding down people who deserved a push, including younger talent like Bray Wyatt. The match ends with Cena giving up. The Fiend has won and attacks John Cena with the mandible claw. Cena's promo from SmackDown is played, now with new meaning. This WrestleMania match is going to accomplish what should have happened 6 years ago, ending the existence of the most overhyped, overvalued, and overprivileged WWE superstar in existence. And Cena disappears after being delivered a Sister Abigail. While it was unlike anything we'd expected at WrestleMania, and might have been entirely different had the COVID-19 pandemic not changed the playing field for such a major event, it was something to be appreciated by fans. Bray Wyatt has continually pushed the envelope in WWE, and given fans something to look forward to, even if it leans a little bit more to the creepy and surreal side. On the April 10th, 2020 episode of SmackDown, Bray Wyatt challenged Braun Strowman, who won the Universal Championship from Goldberg at WrestleMania. A match was scheduled between the two at Money in the Bank, where Wyatt, wrestling as his Firefly Funhouse character, was unsuccessful in winning the championship back. Following a one-month hiatus, Wyatt returned in a Firefly Funhouse segment on the June 19th episode of SmackDown to confront Strowman, reintroducing his original Eater of the Worlds gimmick in the process and reinstating their rivalry. At the horror show at Extreme Rules, another pre-recorded, elaborate production took place. Bray Wyatt defeated Strowman in a non-title match called the Wyatt Swamp Fight. One of my personal favorite promos from Bray Wyatt during his feud with Braun Strowman was one where he's wearing his Muscle Man gym outfit and making fun of Braun being one of the biggest tough guy images in WWE. It's highlighted by a slow-mo clip of Bray Wyatt tearing off his Braun Strowman tank top to a very slowed-down and haunting version of Hulk Hogan's I Am a Real American theme song, with a flag and fireworks popping off behind him. The investment from both Wyatt and the production team have led to some hilariously memorable moments. On the July 31st episode of SmackDown, The Fiend returned by attacking Alexa Bliss, who Strowman had affection for. 2 weeks later, after Strowman attacked Bliss with a gorilla press, it was confirmed that Strowman and The Fiend would get to have their own match. At SummerSlam on August 23, 2020, The Fiend defeated Strowman to win the Universal Championship for a second time. After the match, The Fiend and Strowman would both be attacked by a returning Roman Reigns. A week later, at Payback, The Fiend would go on to lose the title to Reigns after he pinned Strowman in a no-holds-barred match after just holding the title for 1 week. The Fiend returned on the October 2nd episode of SmackDown and attacked Kevin Owens. After the attack, he then extended his hand to Alexa Bliss, which she took and smirked, and they both disappeared. The Fiend then had his final match on SmackDown against Kevin Owens on the following week's episode, a match The Fiend eventually won. As part of the 2020 WWE draft in October, The Fiend was drafted back to the Raw brand, where he is guaranteed to carry out more terror upon the Raw roster. Bray Wyatt is often called a genius by WWE staff, fans, and critics. He has avoided becoming just another product with a cool entrance shoved on our plates by bringing an abundance of his own creativity and thoughtfulness to his storylines. Bray took a formula that was abandoned when oiled up, ultra tan, muscle men took center stage in the company. That formula of being a husky powerhouse hasn't been utilized and embraced for a top talent superstar very much in the days since the likes of Dusty Rhodes. Bray channels the power of those types of wrestlers, displaying great athleticism as someone not sculpted into the traditional mold of strength found in WWE. It's probably my favorite thing about professional sports in general, the athletes who prove that there is not a strict body type necessary for any particular sport. Shout out to the Prince Fielders, Tony Gwynns, and Daniel Cormiers of the world. Thank you for forcing your respective industries to give future generations a chance to compete at the highest level without being shot down before they ever get started. In closing, I want to thank you all again for joining me today as we ventured through part two of the quite long journey Bray Wyatt has taken us on so far. I, for one, am excited to see where he takes us in the coming years because he is still so young. Join us next time for more tales of the wrestling world and how pop culture and the world around us shape storylines. In the meantime, you can access updates and additional content about all episodes on Twitter at WPR Media, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Wrestling Public Radio. This is Crystal Schmidt signing off for Wrestling Public Radio.